Well, that was Chris Abrahams playing the piano, and Mike Cooper, who on his lap has a resonator guitar and was playing it not in the manner that God intended, I think. Perhaps for the people who are listening who are thinking, how is he making all of those noises, you could at least just quickly run us through the gear.
Yeah, well, I'm playing lap steel guitar, which means it's laid on my lap as opposed to holding it against your chest in a normal position.
So God wouldn't have had a problem with that bit?
Not at all. No. And I'm running it through two digital samplers.
One of which seems to have a blackbird trapped inside it.
There was a sample of me whistling
just before
you came into the studio. Okay. I have a penchant for doing that. You come across some nice little melodies sometimes. You just whistle into your instrument. And yeah, one of them is able to make loops, which you can change the pitch of and reverse. So some stuff goes backwards and forwards.
And poor old Chris is just stuck with his keyboard.
He's just got that cheap old Steinway. Yeah.
How did you two come together?
It was going on now probably about 10 years ago. Mm. And Mike is a frequent visitor to Australia. And I think we first played together where we're playing on Tuesday night. And I think I was playing the piano there. But I also played DX7, which is a much maligned synthesizer. And possibly our first gig was me on DX7 and you on guitar.
Yes, probably was.
Do you get to blend more easily on it with a DX7 rather than the piano?
I hope not. I mean, I hope both things sort of blend, but I'm not sure. I can't be objective,
no.
I guess. But, in terms of the electronic realm, I guess, aesthetically, the DX7 could possibly blend in ways the piano doesn't. if that's logical.
And anyway, maybe your intention isn't to blend. There's no reason why it should be. We had Stefan Grossman on the show a few weeks ago, and he also started out in the country blues and pretty much stayed there. But your musical journey, Mike, with your guitar has been quite different and all over the place, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely different. Yeah, Stefan and I actually had a working partnership, so to speak, when he was living in London. I made some records with him and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I chose to broaden my musical horizons almost right from the beginning of when I started, actually, yeah. But the second and third album that I made in 1969, 1970, 71, were already starting to use musicians who could improvise, even though I wasn't improvising particularly at that point. That was the direction I wanted to go, was mixing musics up,
yes,
which was what I've always done, and that was my intention from the beginning.
And the sound of a slide on a resonating guitar is always going to conjure the blues at some level.
Sure. Yeah.
Is there anything else of the blues left, do you think, in what you do?
Yeah, I think that my solo music in particular, when I do that, is firmly rooted and steeped in blues. I said to someone the other day, the blues notes are all there, they're just in the wrong order.
Fair enough. One of the things that you do, I mean, you also, of course, you know a great deal about Hawaiian slack key guitar, yeah. And indeed you wrote the Hawaiian chapter in the Rough Guide to World Music, so yes. those are fairly serious credentials. But, you're not a joiner, are you? You keep moving.
Yeah, I don't really do follow-ups either. That's a kind of rule. If someone asks me, can you do another one of those? I kind of go, no, not really. That's kind of death to me. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't allow yourself to get bored.
No, that's the thing. It's kept me moving. I think it's also, it's kept me interested in what I do. You know, when I do get bored with moving in one direction, I just go back to one of the others and have a stint of doing that.
And of course, one of the other things you do, and you're doing that when you're here as well in Australia, is sitting in front of old movies.
Yes.
Tell us about that. How did that start?
That started because the Brunswick Music Festival, I played there as a solo singer doing, and John McCausland, who organised that, asked me if I was interested in doing anything else. And I said, yeah, I'm interested in playing music to old silent films. And he said, come next year with a film. And I had to find a film, and I found Taboo by Frederick Murnau,
yeah,
which was shot in Tahiti, and that was right up my street.
Right up your
perfect
street.
And I've gone 17 years.
And White Shadows in the South Seas sounds that's right up your street.
I mean, absolutely.
Our listeners can't see your shirt, but it's one of an extensive collection of brightly coloured and Hawaiian-themed shirts that you have.
Yeah, I've got about 300.
Right, that's actually too many. You
it's
know
too
that,
many,
don't you?
Yes, yeah. It's too many. It's an obsession.
But do you seek out silent movies that are specifically to do with the Pacific region?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I do like to do other stuff as well, but I kind of like the exotica films, yeah. Yes. Yeah, whether they be in Hawaiian or Southeast Asia or something like that.
And you're doing that tonight?
I am doing that tonight.
I haven't been to one of a performance where you have played with a film. You're not in the same tradition, I assume, as the guy who used to come up on the organ and.
No, I'm not. Not like that at all. No, in fact, what I figured was most of those films, and were the ones that I do, were pretty contemporary, avant-garde in their time. And I try and do a soundtrack for them now, which is of our time now. Mm. So it's as contemporary, I hope, as those films would have been in those days. Some of the music is accessible. Some of it's pretty avant-garde. And it's also a way, I think, of getting people to listen to more extreme music. They sometimes don't really realise what they're listening to.
No, and it's funny, isn't it, how often you hear that remark, you know, when people hear a confronting piece of music that they had imagined a film.
Yeah, and also when, you know, people buy soundtracks to movies, and it's a whole, you sit down and some of that stuff you've heard in movies, you go, well, you know, I didn't realize that was as extreme as that. Oliver Nelson, for instance, did a lot of soundtracks.
Have you considered actually, you know, releasing some of these movies with your music?
The actual movies DVD, with the music on, it's quite a difficult thing to get people to agree to. Mm. I've released some of the soundtracks that I've done on a separate CD.
Okay, so people can get the DVD and put it on and listen
and
to your music at the same time.
Imagine they're sat in front of it listening
Fantastic.
To me.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, if you're in Sydney tonight, you won't have to imagine it. You can just go along to the Randwick Literary Institute. I had no idea there was a Randwick Literary Institute. There you will be able to find Mike playing along with that film. On Monday, these are all Sydney dates, at Hibernian House in Elizabeth Street, Mike Cooper and Chris Abrahams together. And also next Saturday, at Paddington Uniting Church, Chris Abrahams together with two other pianists, Hermione Johnson and Monica Brooks, are all performing. Thank you very much, gentlemen,
Thank you both for coming in today.
We will go out of today's show with some more music from Mike Cooper. This is from Distant Songs of Mad Men, which you can download for free if you go to Mike's website, which is...
Room 40 website.
Room 40 website.
Yes, Room 40 website.
Okay.
Sorry.
Next week on The Music Show, we'll talk to the conductor, David Zinman, and we will bathe in the glories that are Rodgers and Hammerstein. This week's show was produced by Maureen Cooney and Penny Lomax. Technical production from Jenny Parsonage, Phil McKellar and Alex Stinson.